I think we're pretty clear on the fact that this time of year tends to be one of the busiest times of year. This past Thursday, I got my latest Times Journal, front page at the bottom. Christmas is coming. Suddenly, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Here's a look at some of what's going on. Sharing and Caring at Sharon Springs Central, December to Remember in Cobleskill, Miracle on Main Street in Middleburg, Holiday Park Parade of Lights in Sharon Springs, Western Christmas in Schoharie, Richmondville kick off their holidays, Breakfast with Santa with the Rotary Club, Cherry Valley Holiday Weekend, Gilbo. That's just some. Unfortunately, what can happen, and it can even happen to us, is that we get so caught up with all that's going on that we get through Christmas and that becomes an afterthought. Oh, yeah, and Jesus was born. And we lose the wonder. We lose the joy and the peace of the season. And so this series is about slowing down enough to catch up to Christmas. And I have this little object lesson, thanks to Pastor Lijo. It's not real, obviously, but there's different facets, and it's kind of cool because the light is reflecting off of it in different ways. It's actually a little distracting, but it's having, but there's different facets to it. And this series, even though there's an overarching theme, there are different facets to it. So last week it was about holiday rush or holy hush. The fact that we can get so busy and so caught up that we need to pause and say, wait a minute, I need to recreate sacred space in my life. I need to have margin again where I can just be, I can just breathe, I can enjoy and focus on the birth of the Christ child. Instead of rush, 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 rush. Well, today's theme is, or message is entitled, More or Less. And before we go there, let's pray. Lord, you have burned this message on my heart for today. And apart from the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's not going to convey what you want. But I'm thankful I don't have to stand here and be an orator. I don't have to give a speech. I get to just be a vessel for your Holy Spirit to speak a word that will build up your body of believers and bring glory to you. And so, Lord, we're here to hear your word. We're here to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So each time around this time of year, I begin praying for what theme God would give me for the new year. And for 2024, a year ago, as I was praying, the Lord began to stir in my heart the theme of more in 24. The idea being that the Lord was about to work and move and enlarge the ministry of Calvary Assembly, enlarge its footprints and its influence in our community. And as I look back over this past year, and we'll look in much greater depth at the annual business meeting the end of January, I see evidence that takes place. And it wasn't just more, it was also focused specifically on next-gen ministries. Children, youth, and young adults. Because all of the research statistics were indicating there was a whole generation of people that were moving away from the faith rather than to the faith. About a third of next-gen had abandoned faith altogether. And I knew that if we were not faithful to reach that group, we would be negligent as a church. And so the more focused specifically on not excluding the other generations, but making sure we were being focused on next gen. And now I look back over this past year and I see what God has done. He raised up for us a children's worker, a director of our kids program that has passion for our children's ministry. She has the passion. She has the call, she has the heart. She's like a mama bear. She cares and watches over these kids. I don't know if you've had a chance to see what she's done to the kids' room. It does not look like a sterile classroom anymore. It's got little kid tables where they can fit comfortably. She's got posters on the walls. She has made it possible for these kids to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, to come to know the hope, the healing, the wholeness that is available through Jesus Christ. She and the team that works with her. That's one of the answers that God has brought to the more. But not only that, I think about the fact this past summer with our Vacation Bible School, we reached more kids this summer than we have since the 1990s in a Vacation Bible School program. We have more kids overall. We've had some Sundays in the kids program where we're having 15 kids crammed into that room. We're outgrowing that room. And now we're looking to need to add little learners, which would be the 3s and 4-year-olds, and add the nursery 0 to 2s. So we're providing for children, for next gen, where they will, in a loving, safe way, hear the truth of the gospel and experience the love of God, His grace through Jesus Christ. Not only that, we're seeing more and more people come to the church. We have several that are going to be baptized today. Second baptismal service this year. We've got more people coming to Calvary than before. God is the God who brings more. In fact, why would we be surprised that God is doing more? Because isn't He the God of the more? I love you are spot on, Johnny. Because the passage of scripture that I wanted to start with is from Ephesians chapter 3. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more. How much more? Immeasurably more, which means you can't measure it. It's like kids that go back and forth. I dare you. I double dare you. But does I Google dare you? I triple dare you. I Google dare you. Immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for and ever and ever. God is able to do immeasurably more. He is the God of the more. And when He comes and brings more when He comes. Look what Jesus said in John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it. What does it say? More abundantly. That is the God that we worship. That is the God that we've honored so far today. He is the God who does more, the God who is more, the God who brings more, the God who's able to do more than you and I can beyond what we can ask or imagine. So if you're here today or you're watching online, you think, man, I've messed up. You know, I don't know. Your regrets, your despair, your struggles from the past, like I just don't know if there's any way getting over those things. I want to tell you about a God who comes with even more grace, more powerful than the sin you may be struggling with or the bondages you may be dealing with. Because Romans 5 says, the law was added so that trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. There is nothing that you have done. There is nothing that is beyond God's ability to restore you if you would repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because He is the God of the more. And He brings His grace, more than enough grace. More than enough. Not just, God doesn't, we were praying this in the room before the service. God doesn't just give His grace dispensing it with dribs and drabs. God doesn't just have this little flow that flows out of the faucet. He lavishes us with His grace. He pours out His grace. He doesn't hold back. He's not this God. No, I'm not going to give it to you. God's grace is more than enough. It can abound. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 9. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need. Did you catch the alls? God is able to make all grace. Not just some grace, not just a little bit grace, but all the grace there is, He makes it abound to you. So that in all things, not just some things, at all times, not just when you're going through a great time, having all that you need, not just some of your needs, you are able to abound in every good work, because He is the God of the more. And that's the God we worship. And sometimes what happens, and even believers can have this happen, particularly in this region, particularly in this valley, There is a mindset that keeps people trapped. There's a mindset that keeps people victimized, where they feel like this is all there is. They don't dream. They're afraid to dream. Maybe they dreamed and it collapsed on them. But I want to tell you here, I want to see you dream God dreams. I want you to dream what God can do in and through you, what God can do in and through this body of believers, and what God wants to do in this valley. I want you to begin to see the God of the more and what this God can do. Because he does it exceedingly, abundantly, beyond, more than you can ask or imagine. And what's ironic is that the more that comes to us is because Jesus was willing to become less. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Christmas is about this Word who was with God, this Word who was God, this Word who had all the divine attributes and all the divine prerogatives, chooses to empty himself, chooses to say, I will not access that, chooses to take upon himself and become flesh, Word made flesh dwelling among us. Talk about a humiliation. He became obedient to death, even death on the cross. The one who had the glories of heaven gets placed in a feeding trough in his birth. He gave up everything so that the God of more could give you everything to become his child. He is the God of the more. And he is a God who supplies his children. I know that some of you are wrestling. It has been a challenging time, statistically from an economic perspective. But can I read you a few scriptures of hope from the God of the more that might be able to help you right now? How about this one? Continuing on in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I'm not sure that got through. Let's try that again. He who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing to those who need God. God wants to work in you so he can give through you to those who need him. Jesus said to his disciples, freely you have received, freely give. Paul said, you've been comforted, and with the comfort you've been comforted, comfort others. God doesn't want to bless you so that you can hoard it. God doesn't want to bless you so you can sit on it smugly and arrogantly. God wants to bless you so you become a channel of blessing to the world. That was his intention. He wants to do this for you. And it shows up throughout scripture. Look at Jesus in Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. God pours into you, and you pour out. We pour out, he pours in. His scoop is larger than your scoop. And so God has the ability, the God of the more, has enough to overbless you with his lavishing grace so that you bless others. It's what he wants to, and it's not unlike what he told Israel in the Old Testament, Malachi 3. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough for it. Man, I pray that God would break a poverty spirit in Schoharie County. I pray that God would just smash that thing to pieces and release his blessings in this area. That God would free up, that this place would be once again the breadbasket of a spiritual revolution. That God's blessings would be poured out so much that people would say, I've got to get there. I've got to find out what God is doing. I heard that God is in the house and I want to be there. I heard that God is healing bodies. I heard that God is restoring marriages. I heard that God is bringing prodigals home. I hear that God is setting people free. I got to get there because God is in the house. And that's why, and I've lived here for 34 years. I know what it's like here, feeling that feel, that pressure that says this is all there is. I'm telling you, that is a lie. In Jesus' name, I'm telling you, that is a lie. This is not all there is. This is not all you got till Jesus comes. God has more because he is the God of the more. And so I say to the church of God, I pray and speak faith. Let it rise in your hearts to believe in the God of the more, to believe that God wants to do more in you, to believe that God wants to do more through you, because that's what he does. Now, when he does this more, when he pours into us, it isn't just that we be a blessing. He pours in so that our lives get transformed more and more, and that we become more and more fruitful for him in the kingdom. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing, what? More and more. See, God, well, I got as much faith as I'm going to get. No, I want to keep growing in faith. I want to keep believing more and more. I want to believe for God to raise the dead in here. I want people to bring dead people in here and God raise them up. I want to see God grow limbs. I want to see God open eyes. I want to see God open ears. I want to see God open mouths. I want to see God heal people and set them free. Come on, Lord, grow our faith more and more. But also look at this, Philippians 1. Paul wants us to pray that our love would abound more and more. Look, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. I don't want to just grow in my faith and be peewee in my love. No, I don't want the little teeny fruit. Oh, there's, wait, where is it? Oh, yeah. I see it. Yeah, there's a little speck of love. No. Faith working by love. I want to grow in love. He says, bound more and more in knowledge, depth of insight, this love, so that you may be able to discern what is best. So we don't want love without truth. We want love with truth. And we want love to abound more and more so that we could be pure and blameless to the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. It ain't about us. If God blesses you, it isn't so look at me. It's look at him. We don't want to walk out of here saying, well, we had a good service. We want to walk out of here saying, God is a good God. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:1, finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you're living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Man, more is everywhere. The God of more blesses us with more to be a blessing to the world with his more, and God works in us more and more so that we become more and more fruitful and live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it isn't as if we get to a point and we say, thank you, Lord, I'm done. I actually was in a church where I was a youth pastor, and one of the board members, and you know who I'm talking about, one of the board members literally said to me, I don't come to church to hear anything new because I've already heard it all before. You've heard everything there is about the infinite God. Let me just, we worship and adore you, bowing down, because that's what we're doing. If you've got to the point where there's nothing, he's the infinite God. He's all those omnis. You know what I'm saying? He's the omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. How on earth can you say, I've got all I need to know about the eternal God? We're going to spend an eternity worshiping and coming to know more and more of this awesome God that he is. And so God isn't just, well, I got one good harvest out of Al, I'm done. Yeah, that's it, just one. No, 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 look at 2 Peter 1. Peter says this, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from the past sins. Oh, the Lord wants multiple harvests, church. He doesn't want just one good season stored up, we're good. He wants continual fruit, more and more fruit. And the way he gets that more and more fruit is, according to Jesus, John 15, the master gardener does some pruning. Take a look. Verse 1, I am the true vine, John 15. Verse 1, I am my father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I've shared the story. My father was a master gardener. And he just had, on this little quarter acre lot we had, we just had so much stuff, fruit-wise, vegetable-wise. And every year, he would go into our grape arbor that he had built, and in my mind, he would kill it. When he was done, it looked like the entire grapevine was lying on the ground. I'm like, Dad, we're never going to get grapes again. You killed it. He goes, Dad, he goes, son, I know what I'm doing. And every year I come back like, oh my goodness, look at those grapes. I remember on the left side were all those big green ones with no pits, no seeds. The right side were all the purple ones with the seeds. I like the green ones. I didn't want to do all that work. All of that he did by pruning. So God prunes us. Like, well, what does that mean? Well, if God wants to grow you in patience, do you think he's just going to open up your head and dump patience in? If God wants to make you more loving, do you think he's just going to pop open your head and stick love in? No. What he's going to do is he's going to allow you to be in situations that are going to demand fruit to be produced. And so you're going to find yourself, the best way he's going to teach you patience is to put you in situations where the patience fruit has to be produced. Why? Because he's the master gardener, Carla. And he knows better than you do what needs to be snipped off. God knows. Now, often when we see the shears coming at us, we get nervous because we don't trust the master gardener. We don't think he knows what he's doing. But this God who loved us enough to give his son and the son willing to come and offer his life, that ought to tell us he's good all the time, all the time. And so the Lord will allow you to face situations where maybe your circumstances aren't the easiest to be in, but God says, press into me, lean into me, find your joy in me. See, Paul learned in Philippians 4, he said, it doesn't matter if I have everything or nothing. I've learned the secret of being content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when God allows you to be in situations that the situation may not be the best, and inside you, you feel that desire, that temptation to grumble and complain and whine and murmur, God says, no, this is an opportunity to praise, to worship, to trust, to press into me, to worship me. And as you do that, fruit starts to be produced that you didn't produce. The Holy Spirit produced it because in faith, you leaned into him. And that'll happen whether it be love or joy or peace or patience or goodness or kindness or gentleness or faithfulness or self-control or faith. Whatever he wants to produce in you, he will allow you to face situations. The Bible calls them trials. You persevere through them and it results in maturity and completeness. Or as writer of Hebrews says in chapter 12, verse 11 of Hebrews, a harvest of righteousness and peace. It's, are we going to trust the God of the more? Now, you might be sitting here saying, Pastor Ray, what on earth does this have to do with slowing down enough to catch up to Christmas? Because when I saw your title, more or less, I figured what you were going to do is say, just don't buy as much this Christmas. And in fact, World Magazine has an article about that called Simpler Celebrations. But no, that wasn't my purpose today. What the Lord put on my heart for the first half of the message was to encourage you that the choice isn't between more or less in terms of gift, not gift, at least not today. The choice was for us, will we desire more of what he has for us? See, God doesn't mind you at Christmas time asking for more if the more you want is the God of the more. Desperate for Him, more love, more. But Lord, what I want for Christmas more than anything else is for Christ to be manifested more and more in my life. For the Holy Spirit to work more and more in me and through me. That more is a totally appropriate ask of your Father in heaven. Hey, son, what would you like for Christmas? Oh, Father, I know what I want. More of you. Oh, good answer. That's going to be under the tree. Oh, that was on the tree. More. More. But I want you to know at this time of year, there's something else that's going to be tempting you to more. You'll see it in the flyers that show up in your mailbox. Internet ads that'll pop up on your feed. Stores that will blast all these sales. It's the world's more. And the world will convince you that you need more this season. You need bigger. You need newer. You need better. More. 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 God wants you to have more too, but the God of the more, His more is far different than the world and the world of the more. See, if you choose the world's more, you don't get more, you actually get less. That's what Adam and Eve realized, didn't they? A little too late. They're in the garden and they're convinced by the serpent that if you eat this fruit, you're going to be like God. You're going to know the difference between good and evil. You're going to get more. One bite, come on. One bite, you're going to get more. One bite, one more, one more, one more, one more. And look what they lost. They wanted more and they got less. They ended up losing innocence. They lost purity. They lost perfection. They lost relationship with God, with each other, with themselves, and they lost Eden. That's the problem with the world's more. The world's more doesn't give you more, it gives you less. And even when you get more of the world, it ultimately will never be enough. That rich man in Luke chapter 12 learned that the hard way too. He has a massive harvest. He goes, man, what am I going to do? I know. I'll tear down my puny little barns. I'll build brand new barns and I'll put all my storage. And I'll go, Saul, oh, you got enough for years. Kick back and enjoy yourself. God says, you fool, this very night your soul is going to be required of you. What's going to happen then to all that you've acquired? See, that's the problem with the world. It promises what it can't deliver. It promises something that won't come. And don't think it's just the world that has a problem with this. Believers can struggle with this too. Revelation chapter 3, there's one of the seven churches. It's called the Church of Laodicea. It was in what today is modern-day Turkey. It was a very, very wealthy city. It had a banking industry. So wealthy that when it suffered an earthquake in the first century, Rome said, hey, we'll help you rebuild. They said, we got it. No thanks. They were smug. They were arrogant. They also had the Phrygian eye salve that they were known for all over the Roman Empire. They also had this beautiful black wool. And what happened is the spirit of the community had become the spirit of the church. So the church was saying, I'm rich, I can see, I'm dressed in the nines, up to the nines here. And God says, Jesus says to them, you don't realize you're blind. You don't realize you're naked. You don't realize you're poor. See, they went for what the world had to offer, and the world is never going to be enough. In fact, Jesus warns us about this in Luke 9. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will save it. Wild irony, isn't it? That if I try to gain the world, get more of the world, I'm going to end up with less because I'm going to lose myself. But if I'm willing to choose less of the world and more of Him and lose myself, I'm actually going to get more. He goes on to say, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Jesus says in Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's one of the deadly temptations that comes with the world's more. It can pervert God's more. See, God wants more for you so that through you, you can bless others. The world wants to convince you you can have more and make it about you and help others, sort of like a compromise. That's a problem with that. There are those that have distorted biblical doctrines because of the world's more instead of being true to what the scripture says. I believe in the God of the more. You've heard me preach it today that God wants more for his people. God wants to bless his people. God wants to so much so that we can't contain that blessing, but not so that we become arrogant and self-sufficient, but so that we press in more so we can be a blessing to more and more people. Blessed to bless, not blessed to hoard. In fact, Paul commands Timothy to warn those who had that craving for more. It says, those who want, this is 1 Timothy 6, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money, craving the money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Jump down to verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. Notice that. If I could paraphrase it, choose the more of God rather than the more of the world. He richly provides us with everything. He richly provides us. And there it is again, this God of grace lavishing. He richly provides us with everything we need for our enjoyment. He's like, Lord, thank you for your blessings. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous, willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Paul has to have Timothy warn people that the world's more is not going to get you more, it's going to get you less. Now, I think the world actually, at times, gets that. You ready for that clip? In just a moment, we're going to show you something. There is a film that came out years ago that has a song in it. You probably have heard it, and as soon as you hear it, oh yeah, I remember that. But listen to Eden's Echo. Some of the reasons why I use some clips like this is I want you to see that the world actually, every now and then, gets right at the place of seeing truth. They don't understand why they're seeing it. That's our job to tell them. But it's out there. So go ahead.
Stars we steal from the night sky will never be enough. Never be enough. Towers of gold are still too little. These hands could hold the world, but it'll never be.
Enough. And the reason the world's more will never be enough is because you and I were made for more than this world. Ecclesiastes 3, God put eternity in our hearts. That's why the world will never satisfy. And that's why the craving of the world, it's never enough. It doesn't matter whether it's possessions. It doesn't matter whether it's drugs. It doesn't matter whether it's alcohol. It doesn't matter whether it's sex. It promises what it can't deliver. So you take it. It feels temporarily good. But then you need more and more and more and more. And it's never going to be enough. Because you and I were created for the eternal God. God made it so that only God can fill that void inside. Only God, the God of the more, is enough for us. Because that's what we were made for. In just a few moments, three people are going to follow the Lord in the waters of baptism. And what they are saying to you and to the world is, he's enough. The cross before me, the world behind me, he's enough. So this Christmas season, more or less? It's not necessarily a choice between a present under the tree or not a present under the tree. It's what is the more that you crave and desire? Is the more him? Is it his grace, his love, his power, his truth, his spirit, his strength, so that he can do what he wants to in you and through you? Or is it the world? Choose the world's more, you'll end up with less. Choose less of you and more of him, you will be satisfied. More or less? The choice is yours.